What will we do? You help yourself this morning. Mind the Lord. Turn to 2 Kings is where we'll be. 2 Kings chapter 4. Appreciate the singing this morning, the songs. What would we do without Jesus? Right.
Amen.
Well, we've been preaching on the home for, I don't know, 8 or 9 weeks or so. And we're going to continue yet this morning, preaching on the church tonight. And I want you to listen carefully today. We're just going to look and see some different homes. We've been looking at different situations, but one Savior. The greatest need we have is the Savior. We know that. But we're going to have a strong home. We're going to have a strong home before we have a strong church. We're going to have a strong home before we have a strong country. And it rests on us. We're living in troubled times. Now, you watch the news. I try not to watch hardly none of it. But things is rough. We know that. Me and Gene and Steve was talking this morning. Steve Dorsey was talking this morning. The price of things is rising and are going to get higher. And it's going to be harder for people to live, harder for people to make it. And you better have a little bit more something inside than monetary things. You better have the Lord. Amen. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last of the last days. We're living in the last minutes of the last days. And if the time clock was up on the wall, it wouldn't be 11:55. It'd be like 11:59 in a few seconds. Christ could come at any time.
Yes, sir.
At any time. The rapture is going to take place. He is going to blow a trumpet. We are going up if we're a believer. We are going up. And you need to be ready. And but until then, we are to occupy till he comes. I'm going to live like he's coming now. And then I'm also going to live like and make plans like I got another 10 years because we got work to do. We've got work to do. I send messages to a lot of people throughout the week, and one of the messages I sent to the preachers this morning that I always text, we don't have, this is not another day, all right? We say, man, I got another day to live for the Lord. I got another day to serve the Lord. No, you don't. You got one less day. I got another day that I can pray. Now you got one less day you can pray. I got another day I can go get my people saved. No, you got one less day. That's how time is. You realize that we're already in the middle of July. Well, that don't make sense. We just started out the year. We're already, time has done flew. And we better be busy. And we better make sure some things are right down at the house. All right? Let's pray together and then we'll get right into the scripture this morning. Father, we come. And Lord, you are great and wonderful. There's no doubt about that. And Lord, if there's ever any need, Lord, it's a need in my life, my mind, my heart. Cleanse me that there be nothing contrary to your will in my life this morning. I'm sorry for my failures, my faults, my sins, my neglect, the things left undone. There's so much. And I ask you, Lord, to cleanse my mind and my heart. Now, Lord, help us this morning. Give us power as you see fit. Speak to every heart, not only those in the sanctuary. I pray for the young people downstairs as they're being preached to. Lord, deal with their hearts as well. Those who will watch YouTube and Facebook and live stream and all the things they're watching, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to their heart as well. But may you get the glory through it all. In Jesus' name and amen. We've started out our messages on the home with this one simple story, and we didn't give it to you last Sunday. We was all patriotic last Sunday. We give you the story of the preacher who had his sheetrock busted and it cracked up his wall, and he called for the man to come and repair it. And the man come and looked at it and said, yeah, I can fix that. And he puttied it and sanded it and repainted it, and it looked great. In a few weeks, the crack reappeared. So he called the man back, and he come and he worked on the wall, and there he re-puttied it and re-sanded it and repainted it, and it looked great again. And in a few weeks, it cracked again. He got upset and said, well, he won't call that man. He'll go call the best in town. So he called the best drywall man in town. And when the man come and looked at it, he just stood there and stared at it, He said, well, you going to fix it? He said, I can't. I thought you was the best. He said, I am, but I can't fix that. He said, the problem is not with your drywall. Your problem is in your foundation. You fix your foundation, then I'll fix your drywall. And again, I remind you that we have spent years patching our drywall. We've spent years puttying and painting and sanding and trying to make ourselves look good and find a crack in it in just a few days because we won't work on the foundation. We're going to have to keep the foundation lined out. Now, the problem with that is it costs a lot. It don't cost much for a bucket of spackle and a sand piece of sandpaper and a gallon of paint and to patch up and make everything look pretty. But when you go digging down in your foundation, now you're going to have to move everything. You're going to have to dig down. You're going to have to, it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you time. Huh? But that's the only way to fix the problem. Today it's the same way with us. We don't know whether we want to pay that price of fixing our foundation. You must have Christ. You must have Christ. There's nothing more important than you and Christ. And there's nothing more important than the husbands and wives than to have Christ. And there's nothing more important than husbands, wives, and children than to have Christ. You need the Lord this morning. You need the Lord. You can't do it without the Lord. You think you're surviving? Well, you're not surviving. You're existing. You're going to perish without the Lord. You need the Lord this morning. So let's look at a few scriptures here before we look in Kings. Let's look in Joshua, where we've looked at Joshua chapter 24, very familiar. Joshua 24, verse 15, it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. So you're going to have to make a choice. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that's getting your foundation lined out. When you make that decision, that for me and my house. Now, I may make a mistake every day. And I will make multiple mistakes every day. But I'm glad I got a foundation. I'm glad I got a good foundation, and that's the Lord. It ain't me. Can I tell you, my foundation is not my ability. My foundation is Christ. All right, then that's what you need this morning. Turn to Psalms 127. Psalms 127, verse 1. These have been our verses as we've looked at this several weeks and looked at the home. Psalms 127, verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Except the Lord build the house. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and then we'll look at the message for this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. It says, Jesus speaking now. Of course, Jesus speaking through the whole, it's all his word. But here it is. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So that's a lot right there. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. It's one thing to hear it. But it says that he heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Now, why didn't it fall? For it was founded upon a rock. The foundation was what was important. And that foundation is Christ. That foundation is the rock. It's Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and let's see if we can find a few things here that'll help us along and help us to build up our house, to build up our home, to have a strong home. Now, we may have strong points, but I don't know any of us that's got a perfect home. I don't know of any home that don't need a little work done on it. Even a brand new house. A brand new house. All right? And you think it's all ready to move in, turnkey job. And you'll go in and say, I never noticed that. And I never noticed that little flaw. And I never noticed that little flaw. See, everything, even a brand new one, will have some imperfections. And that's what we need to look at. All right? And we're not trying to be critical. We just want to try to be, we need to expose. All right? We want to expose. We're going to do an inspection, a house inspection. That's what these has been the past nine weeks or so, has been house inspections. All right? And that has to be. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we're not going to read the entire chapter. I'm going to read one verse and then go back and, because we want to get a title, main text out of verse 26. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 26 says, "Now run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." Yeah. Now there's a whole home right there, ain't it? The entire home. "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, is it well with thee? Is it? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well. It is well." That's a great answer if we can say it is well. But the question is it? That's the question. And we want you to think about that and just see how things are. When I look at 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a lot here, and we're going to try just to be positive and encourage you this morning if we can at all, and let you understand that we got a personal Savior. We got a personal Savior. When I look in chapter 4, 1 through 7, there's two accounts in chapter 4. The first one is concerning a home that didn't have anything. They were broke. They didn't have no provision. Didn't have anything at all. And if you'll read verses 1 through 7, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a powerful God, a powerful Savior, and one that provides completely. Yeah. His provisions are good. I want you to look here this morning. I want you to know that we don't serve a penny-ante God or some little tiny God. We serve the great God of glory. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." He said, "I am Lord, there's none else." And He is the great God. Amen. And He supplies the needs that we have. There's no doubt about that. And what I like about the first seven verses, if you go back and read it sometime, that when they run down a quit giving them the oil, it wasn't because he run down oil, they just didn't have nothing to put it in. Can I tell you, the Lord never runs out of anything? We'll run out of places to put his blessing, but he'll never run out of blessing. He's great, he's powerful, and his provisions are wonderful. That's what I see in the first seven verses. But we're going to concentrate on the next section. Verses 8 down through verse 37 is where we're going to pick through there this morning. And I want you to see the personal Savior that we have. Now, He's powerful. He's powerful. You know, we talk about what all He's able to do and what all He's able to change. I'm looking at many this morning that he took liquor bottles and emptied them out and made loaves of bread out of them. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? I see it. I see many this morning that he's took dope needles and funny rolled cigarettes. And you know what he's made? He's made car payments and house payments and power bills. And I've seen him provide. That's what he turned it all into. That's pretty powerful, you know, to do that. I've watched him change blasphemers, filthy mouth, curse and lie and cheat, make mighty fine singers and able to praise, to say praises unto the Lord better than anybody. I find him to be pretty powerful this morning in what he changes. How about you? Did he change you? Is it well with you this morning? Did he change you? But then I want you to know he's also personal though. He don't just do it here and there. He's personal with everybody. Let's look at a few verses here if we can. In verse 8, 2 Kings 4, 8. Is everybody with me this morning?
Yes.
Now when we see the prophets, when we see Elijah and Elisha and these great prophets of old, I want you to understand the way that the scripture lays it out. That was God, his spokesman. That was the Holy Spirit of God hadn't come to dwell among men or dwell inside a man. And he chose men and he chose the prophets to be his mouthpiece. So when they come on the scene, it was like God. It wasn't God, it was like God coming on the scene. And he was doing miracles and doing great things and speaking great words. That's what these prophets done. And this is the chapter 4 we're talking about Elisha here. And verse 8 says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned thither to eat bread. Well, we'll start there, and we're talking about being well down at the house. We're talking about being well with the wife and well with the husband and well with the children. And one way to make it well is that there's a desire to fellowship with the Lord. And that's what we have here. Elijah passed by. He was God's spokesman now, and he was asked to fellowship. Do you ask the Lord to fellowship with you? You want things to be well? Do you take time for the Lord to sit down and fellowship with you a little bit? There ain't nothing any better. You know, I don't know about y'all, but we always did like to visit around the table. You know, nowadays you don't have supper tables. Nobody wants to cook. But when you have company, you know, you set all the food on the table. I don't like buffet style at home. I like to set the kettles and the pots and the pans on the table and you'll eat a while and you visit a while and then you eat a while and then you'll pick a little bit and you'll get another spoon and you'll sit there. Next thing you know, you've done sat there for a couple hours around the table. Whew. That's how you do. Well, can I tell you this morning that if you'll fellowship with the Lord the same way and take a little time, it won't take long before you go,
yeah.
Because of the fullness of what you've got in the fellowship. Do you do that down at the house? Do you do that down at the house? Now, I didn't get this size by eating every now and then. Huh? You're not going to get fat on the Lord just eating on Sunday. You're not going to get fat on the Lord just in Sunday school or just in morning preaching. You're going to have to sit down and spend some time, and it's best if you do it every day. Huh? Every day. You won't get weak. You don't eat. Huh? You don't eat. I wondered, you know, all the time growing up, even after I was married, I'd go to mommy's, and mommy, first thing, you eat. You hungry? You need to lose some weight. You know that, Mark. Are you hungry? And all in the same sentence, you know. She was concerned that I hadn't eaten that day. They ought to be concerned down at the house that we haven't eaten that day with the Lord, that we haven't abided at His table. There's room at His table this morning, and He becomes the host if we set the table for Him. Now, we ask Him in as our guest, but when He sits down, He becomes the host. I'm asking you this morning, is it well? Do you make a place to abide there? Do you take that time? Now, can we read on? Everybody okay? We're just going to read this little account here. Verse 9 says, and she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Now that's wonderful that I'm glad that he keeps coming by. I wonder if anybody would amen that.
Amen.
I'm glad that he keeps coming by the house.
Amen.
He keeps wanting my time.
Yeah.
Do you understand how important you are to him this morning?
Come on.
He wants your time. That he passes by continually waiting on you, wanting you, desiring you, wanting to fellow you. He loves you this morning. He cares about you. He's personal. He's personal. He ain't the group guy. He's a personal Savior this morning. He wants to come by where you're at. Says, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Verse 10, the most wonderful thought. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh us that he shall turn in thither. Make a place. Is it well this morning? Have you made him a place? Now it's one thing every now and then to fellowship a little bit, but have you made him a place? Is there a place in your home this morning? Just for him. We say we're Christian. Maybe we ain't Christian, we're just a little religious.
Yeah.
Huh? Maybe we're just a little religious. When I was in the Philippines several years ago, I stayed in a house. I've told you about it before. There wasn't nobody in the house, and it was some of the missionary I was with, his kinfolk, and we stayed. They said we could stay in the house. We went in, all the furniture was covered over with sheets. You couldn't sit on none of the furniture. All you knew, we was going to go there and sleep. They had a bed. But I went and they put me in the room. The little spirit room is where they put me. They had their little spirit hut, their little spirit house outside the window for all their little demon spirits to live in. They had that little spirit house, had their little voodoo whatnot dolls on the, and they had their little candles lit all around that little place, and they stuck me in that room. You know? They had a place for their God.
Yes. Yes.
He wasn't a real God, but they had a place for their God. And since I was the preacher, they put me in there where they allowed it to be good for me. All right? Do you have a place for God in your house? All the rest of the house was covered up. But that little place, their little voodoo dolls and their little candles lit and everything, all that was for their God. Do you have a place that you made for the Lord? I'm asking you, is it well? Is it well? Do you have a place? Is it the whole house? Or do you got him stuck off in a corner? Is everything else covered? Or is he just in a little corner where you lay your Bible? Is he in your life? I'm asking you this morning, is it well down at the house? That's what I'm asking you. Is it well with the wife? Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the children? We got a personal Savior. He's real this morning. He's real this morning. We still okay? Now, when I think about this bed, that's going to show me there's a place to abide with me. If he's going to sleep, he's going to abide there. He ain't just going to pass through. You got a place made that he can abide this morning? Huh? He's got a table there. Well, that table could be a lot of things, but I believe maybe that table's there to teach me. He's going to sit there at the table and instruct me. Huh? That's what that man of God would do. He would sit there at the table and instruct.
Yes.
Would he not?
Yes.
Huh? How about a stool? How about not only a bed to abide and a table to teach me? How about that stool that he might direct me? Have you ever not had daddy sit at the table, turn his chair around? You sit facing the table, but when you're done eating, and I find myself doing the same thing, I pull my chair around and cross my legs, maybe get a cup of coffee, and then the direction for the home or direction what needs to be done takes place. See, I believe there's a direction from the Lord if we got a place for him.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord. Now, we quote this all the time, but we skip by the rules.
Uh-huh.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. But before He ever directs your paths, there's some things that's got to be done first. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He ain't going to direct you if you ain't trusting.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That's the second thing you're going to have to do. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Then He'll direct our paths. There's going to have to be a place. We all right with that this morning? There's going to have to be a place. A set aside place. How about we just make Him a little bed over here against the wall? How about we make Him a little bed and give Him a table and give Him a stool? Wait a minute, you're going to give Him something else?
Yes.
We'll give Him a candlestick. Huh? He's going to have a candlestick. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. He's going to give me something to lead me along the way. Not just direct me, but to lead me. I'm glad that when He comes in my home, I've got the Word of God with me down at the house. I'm asking you this morning, is it well? Is any of this helping you, making sense to you this morning? I'm just reading the account here. Let's drop down, verse 16. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that if you'll have a little time with Him, the fellowship, I believe you'll have a little place for him to come in. I believe when you get down around verse 16, I believe something will start happening inside that home.
Oh, yeah.
It says, and He said, verse 16, and He said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Listen, we've done looked at he passed by. We've done looked at a place for him. Now we're going to look at a promise that he'll make you. See, it was just him and her. Just a husband and a wife. They wasn't a lot of joy. She was sad. But can I tell you, he brought off a lot of joy. He brought him a child. Now some don't have children. I know that. But he still brings joy. Because these promises are true this morning. See, what he promised, what this man of God promised, happened. Y'all listen to me this morning. What he promises, he'll deliver. He'll deliver every time. He don't back off on a promise this morning. It may not be my time. It says here, according to the time of life. There's a time. Don't just happen immediately. There's a time there. Are you following me this morning? So I believe this morning, if we'll make him a place, when he passes by and we make him a place to stay, not just be religious, but make him a place to stay, he'll be everything we need this morning. Now, have you done that? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? We want all the blessing, but we don't want the procedure. You know? People want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Isn't that right? We spend billions of dollars trying to stay in this life. You know? Trying to stay here. But we say we want to go to heaven. Huh? You know, I'm right there with you. But I took my 13 pills this morning. Yeah. I must not want to go too bad today. I took my 13 pills to be able to get through this morning. Then we'll work on the other ones this afternoon, okay? That's to get through. But can I tell you, a lot of times we want everything God has, but we don't want to do what He says first. Now, for you to be saved this morning, the only thing you're going to have to do is believe. You're going to have to believe. We can't believe for you. But you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn from your ways. You know, I can't turn you. I can't turn you. I can encourage you. I can help you. I can lead you. But I can't turn you. You're going to have to turn yourself from the life you're living to turn to Jesus Christ.
Right.
You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to believe. I can't believe for you. Listen to me. God don't have no grandchildren.
Right.
He don't have no grandchildren.
Amen.
He's got children. They got to believe on him themselves. Your kids ain't going to be saved because you are. You're not going to be saved because your parents was. The husband ain't going to be saved because the wife is. The wife ain't going to be saved because the husband is. You're going to have to do that yourself. You're going to have to come to Christ yourself. There's some things you're going to have to do. So here we see what we find out. Now he done passed by. We got a place for him. He done made us a promise. But then trouble come. Trouble come. Let's look here at verse 18. It says, when a child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. So it's been a while now. Let's see, the child was done grown. And he went to work. Can I say that again? The child was grown, he went to work. Ain't that a blessing? That he went out to, he wasn't full grown, he was just grown. We all right?
Yeah.
Everybody look this way and all men say amen because they're going to make their children work.
Yes.
And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And as he's out there, now you look here at verse 19, and he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And we had taken him and brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. Now that's hard. Ain't that hard? See, even though the Lord passed by, to be personal, even though this home made him a place so he could stay, and even though they had been enjoying the promises of God, it still don't make you exempt from a problem. And the problem here is not meant to hurt. Now, won't you look at me this morning? The problems that you face, sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot and we got to get through some things. And the Lord helps us. But there's some things that the Lord allows. He don't allow it to hurt you. He allows it that he may help you. Now, the problem is not what strengthens you. It's the personal Savior that strengthens you in the problem. Don't give credit to the problem. Are you hearing me? We'll say, well, I had that, and that, I reckon that was meant to, no, it was used, but God alone gives the help. And he allows some things. Now, do you think that this was a shock to the Lord?
No.
I don't believe it was a shock to the Lord. I don't believe it. Now, Elisha may have not understood all of it, but the Lord didn't misunderstand it. So he allowed a problem. It's a hurt. It is a hurt. Huh? But the problem is not what strengthens me this morning. Listen, I got problems. I got issues. You got any issues? I got issues with me. I got issues with you. I've got issues with others. Right? I got issues with the government. Right? I got issues with doctors. I've got issues. I've got problems. Huh? Don't let this pretty face fool you. It's not all peaches and cream. Huh? All right? Well, what do I do, quit? Do I quit? Well, he promised. Everything was good, now I got a problem. And don't mean God's against you this morning. He's trying to get us to trust him. We've never learned to trust the Lord. The old people learned to trust the Lord. And we've got so much we can't trust the Lord. Or should I say we got so much we won't trust him. We don't know how to trust him. Huh? So here we find a problem. But the problem was not to her hurt. It was not. Now, we're going to start again. There's another section here, verse 22. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
We see all the greatness and all these promises. He passed by and he made a place and he made them a promise. They had the kid. Now here comes the problem. What happens? What happens? There's not a home. I want everybody to look at me this morning. There's not a husband and a wife here. Husband, wife, and children that don't have problems. All of us have problems. Some are more severe than others. All problems, they may be different problems. Some will come and rock you right to the very foundation that you're to be built upon. Some will be to break your heart and rip your heart from out of your body, it seems like. Some that you don't have no answer. You don't know what to do. You feel like quitting. You feel like giving up. You feel like there's no use, that all of it's a sham, that there's nothing in any of it. Troubles come. But this woman here showed us what to do. This woman had something in her home that every home needs. And this woman is the great example of what we need in our home. And that's just simple faith in God.
Yes.
What'd she do? Well, let's read and see what she done. Verse 21 says, after that boy died, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Shut the door. Got out of there. Went out. Verse 22 says she called her husband, said, get me a guy over here. I got to go find the man of God. I've got to go get God. I don't want a doctor. I don't want nobody out of the field coming. I need somebody to get me to God. I'm going to go where God's at. Can I tell you this morning, that's where our answer is going to come from. She was going to God's man. And he's the spokesman. It's like she's going to God. Are you okay with me this morning? Everybody understand? So what would that signify? How about she went to prayer? Huh? And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men. We're in verse 22. Send me one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go unto him today? It's neither new moon or Sabbath. See, sometimes everybody in the home ain't together. See, sometimes it's the wife that's doing right and the husband won't do right. Sometimes it's the husband that'll do right and the wife don't do right. Sometimes the wife wants to run to the Lord and the husband says, well, it ain't Sunday. I'm not going to pray today. It ain't Sunday. See, I hate to say it, but the majority of the time, the women is the one that's spiritual in the home. That's usually the way it goes. Usually if there's anybody praying for the kids, it's mommy. If there's anybody praying for the home, normally it's mommy. Daddy's, well, I know daddies are busy, but nowadays daddy and mommy's both are busy. Is everybody, I'm asking you this morning, the question still lays, is it well? Is it well with thee? Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the child? Huh? Are we still okay? So we find her praying. It was a priority. Just soon the child died, I go to God. It was a priority.
Yes.
Hear me this morning. There better be a priority when problems come. We better run to God.
Yes.
Because nobody else can help you. Friends can't help you. Can I tell you, your spouse can't help you. Your children can't help you. Oh, but there's one that sits high and looks low that can help you this morning. He's faithful. He's great. He's all power. He's there. He's personal. He's watching you this morning. He cares. Teddy asks us and says a lot of times, does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Though the way gets weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He does care. And sometimes, they ain't unity in the home. And the daddy said here, well, why in the world do you want to go? It ain't new moon or Sabbath. And she looks at him and said, it's going to be well. It's going to be well.
Amen.
I thank God for some Christian moms.
Yes.
I thank God for some Christian wives. I thank God for some Christian grandmas.
Yeah.
Some Christian ladies. I've told you before, I tell you, you know, I thank the Lord for the prayers of women. When I first started preaching, been a long time ago, when I first started preaching, I looked straight down. I couldn't look up. I was too backward. I was introvert. You don't believe that, I know, but I was introvert. I was bashful. And I'd preach with my head hung down. I preached so hard, my face had turned red as a tomato. So I couldn't breathe. Well, it was. I was bent over in a bad place. And getting ready to go, pastor. And there was four women over at Mount Lookout Church. Carolyn Warburton, Mary Ann Schaefer, Doris Halstead, and Kathleen Hypes. And they prayed for me, and I didn't know they was praying that the Lord had helped me to look up, because they know it was going to hurt my ministry if I couldn't look up. So the Sunday before I went to pastor, the Sunday night before I went to pastor, I preached a message on why Christians fail at Mount Lookout Church. And I looked straight up. I stood straight up and looked everybody in the eyeball. And I've never had no trouble looking you in the eyeball since then. I'm just as bashful as I was. But I'm thankful that some godly women God, are you listening to what I'm saying? It's important that things be well with godly women and godly men, that we might have godly children and have a godly home. But it's not going to come out of the sky. It ain't a prize in a Cracker Jack box. You're going to have to do something with it.
Amen.
Huh? God's got a procedure. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for us. Our country's going to hell, but can I tell you, our homes are going to hell.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have to get some things lined out with mom and dad, husbands and wives, and the children.
Yes.
So let's look on. We're going to hang in here now. There was a priority to pray. There was a presence needed. She wasn't just going to send word to the man of God. She went to where man of God was. Does that know what it teaches?
Yes.
She didn't say, somebody go fetch him. She said, I'm going. It's well. I'm going. I'm going to go talk to God. That's what it was. Can I tell you, we got to have His presence. Do you have His presence in your home? Is He real to you this morning? I'm afraid He's not real. I'm afraid He's just some kind of spooky thing that people have. No, listen. He's a person. He's real. He's real. I know He's real this morning.
Yes.
Is He real to you? Do you know Christ? Huh? Not of Him. I think of the man down there at the muffler store. I said, he was 80 years old. And I was there and he came in and talked to me. I said, hey, by the way, sir, do you know the Lord? He said, pardon me. I said, do you know Jesus? You know the Lord? He said, I know of Him. I said, well, let me tell you about Him. He said, no, not today. No, I don't want to know no more. No, no, I know of Him. That's enough. Can I tell you, it ain't enough to know of Him. It ain't enough to hear. It ain't enough to know the words. I'm persuaded that a lot of you know church, but you don't know Jesus. A lot of you know what to do at church, but you don't know Jesus. A lot of you go to church, but He's never home with you. Because you don't know Him. You're religious, but you're lost. You hearing me? You're religious, but you're lost. You can tell. Look at your life. Look at your lifestyle. It's proof. The proof's in the pudding. You can't live like hell and walk with Christ. Are you hearing me this morning? It don't work that way. It don't work that way. So here we find priority and the presence needed, but I find that a personal Savior. Look at verse 25. What a wonderful verse 25 is. Is everybody still with me? Don't want to lose you now. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when a man of God, look here, what'd he do? He saw her afar off. Huh? He seen her before she ever got there. He sees you before you ever get to him with your problem. He sees you before you ever come close to where he's at. Because he's up high. The man of God was up here on the mountain looking down. And he said, he didn't say, there comes somebody. He didn't say, hey servant, there comes somebody. No, what did he say? He said, behold, yonder is that Shumanite.
That's right.
He don't just see somebody, he sees you. He's personal.
Amen.
He's personal this morning. He sees you. That means he knows your problem. That means he knows your weight. That means he knows your issue. That means he knows your hurt. That means he knows all about you this morning. And he tells his servant, get her up here. Is that not what he says to the Holy Spirit of God? Does not the Holy Spirit draw us right into his presence? Man, there's a lot in this if we'll look at it this morning. Are we okay? But she ain't perfect. She ain't perfect. Sometimes we'll have the promises of God. Sometimes we're abiding. Sometimes we got him a place that he can come right in there and stay. And man, we fellowship and love it. Oh, we enjoy the promises of God. When something happens, we run right to him.
Yes.
I mean, we beeline right to him. Priority. Oh, God. And then we go to talking at him. Then we have a something we don't like to talk about. We have a protest. See, we'll proclaim it's well. Yeah, I'm okay. How you doing through this? I'm okay. Are you making it? It's well. It's well. That's what she said, wasn't it, verse 26?
Yeah.
It's well with me. It's well with my husband. Well, what y'all did. But it's well. See, we can say that a lot of time, but see, there was a protest. Not just a proclamation. Verse 28 says, then she said, did I desire, son of my Lord, did I ask you for any of this? Why did you give this to me? Did I ask you for any of this? Listen, my child did. I didn't ask you for a kid. We was fine without the kid. We was doing good. Sometimes we'll go to God and we'll say, how come? It ain't because we don't love him. We've already got him a place. We're already glad he passed by. We've already got him a place to abide. We're already enjoying his promise. We'll run to him when trouble comes. But sometimes we'll protest and say, why didn't you just leave us alone? We were doing good. Now you give us a kid and he dies. I told you, just don't lie to me. See, sometimes we'll think that toward God. Does that make us evil? No. No. No, it puts us there in the room where he teaches us. It's just there in the classroom and the questions of a student talking to the teacher. There's some of you this morning that's had a far greater hurt than I've ever saw. Huh? And you wonder why. He's teaching. He's teaching. He's teaching you to trust him. He's showing you he's there. Is it well? Is it well with you? Is it well with your spouse? Is it well with the children? Yeah, it's well. But I got to protest. I got to protest, God. I'm having trouble understanding all this. But she didn't quit. Are you following me this morning? Look at verse 30. It says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. She wasn't backing off. Can I tell you this morning, when trouble come, don't back off. Don't back off this morning. Don't quit. Cause things ain't exactly, don't quit. Cause it ain't come out like you thought, don't quit. Your heart doesn't lay down, you're gutted. Don't quit. She said, as the Lord, I ain't leaving you. I'm not going nowheres. I don't understand it, but I ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
I don't know what you're going to do, but I ain't going nowhere. I don't know how it's going to be well, but it's well. And I ain't going nowhere this morning. And I'm here to tell you, it can be well in your home, but you can't do it by yourself. You're going to have the Lord.
Yes.
Are you hearing me this morning? It's what it says here, verse 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Now we see something else. We're going to see some great power again. And Gehazi passed on before him, laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. See, nobody else can help you. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child's not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child, we're on verse 32, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. The child was dead. He wasn't asleep. Everybody hear me? Behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. He went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hand. He stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Thing warming up. Verse 35. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was coming unto him, he said, take up thy son. Is that not powerful?
Yes, it is.
Is that not powerful? Man, you can go so far with that little scripture.
Yeah.
He'll take the problem and fix the problem. Is that not what he done? It wasn't in the time she allowed. She didn't even want the problem. She didn't even want what caused the problem. But he fixed it anyhow. Some of you this morning, husband and wife, you got children that are dead. They're lost, dead in their sin, headed to hell. And what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to hang in there and keep coming to God. Let God go in and put his eyes on their eyes and put his hands on their hands and put his mouth on their mouth and let him do a work and let things warm up in their heart and still work on them. And then life will come to them. I believe that this morning. I believe when husbands and wives get down to business, I believe children won't stay lost. Many, many years ago, my daddy had went to Korea and he was not saved, and he got out of the service, and the war was over. They didn't send everybody home, and they never knew where Daddy was. He never wrote them, never called them. Daddy was pretty rough. So Papa and Mama, this is their testimony, that they just prayed every night that they'd hear from Daddy, from Boyd. And they prayed and they prayed. And they'd pray all night and they prayed for days and months. And it had been 6-8 months. And they never had heard from Daddy. That's pretty hard. But boy, pretty hard if we won't call mom and dad after the war and let them know he's home. That's pretty, daddy pretty tough. Things is, nobody's, there would be no hope. Papa said that he went on to bed one night and mama was still praying. She came in the bedroom and said, "Bill, boy, it'll call tomorrow. I'm going to bed." Said mama went to bed. The next morning, daddy called. He said, "I just want you to know I'm all right. I'm headed home. Headed home." Took a little while, but over at the Cotton Hill Baptist Church, Papa was preaching on a Sunday night on Moses crossing the Red Sea. And he said, "Why don't you just step out and come on and trust him?" And daddy slipped out the aisle and down the aisle he come. See, sometimes mom and dad is just going to have to stand, hang in there and be persistent and pray and watch the children come on in. Listen, it ain't over yet. Not over yet. Because he's a personal Savior. He cares about you this morning. He cares about you. You're not junk. You're not trash. You're not filth. Hey, you're just a sinner. And he loves you this morning. And then after he saved you, you're his child. And of course he cares for you. You need him this morning. Then there's something else here I don't want to forget. Let's look here in verse 37. See, we done looked at, in fact, I was alliterated this morning. Bunch of peace through there. We heard the proclamation, it's well, the protest, it's your fault, the persistence and the power. Ah, but we don't want to leave out verse 37. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground. I think it must have been a little praise. I think there must have been a little praise there. Is there any praise down at your home? Is there any praise down at your home? You say, "I got a lot of problems." Yeah, but is there any praise? Is there any praise? There ought to be a little praise down there. See, you may have a big problem now, but you've had them before. What did he bring you through before? Surely you've not been in this thing that long with this your first problem. But has he been faithful? Has he been powerful to you? I'm asking you this morning, has he not been there in the past? And he'll be there now. You think he's worthy of praise? Oh, my eyes, a lot of things I don't understand this morning. I don't understand things in my life. I don't understand things in your life. I don't understand why things just happen the way they've happened. Pray about things and you wonder and don't see no change. You weep and cry and pray and try to trust and you don't see no change. Sometimes it's health issues. Sometimes it's just broken heart. Sometimes it's things that you just don't make sense. It's just stupid. You deal with people, but people's stupid. They just are. You know, we're stupid. Are we not? But we can't quit. Why? Because I've got a personal Savior. I've got one that won't just sit by you. He'll come sit by me. Are you hearing me this morning? He ain't forgot you. He ain't forgot you this morning. He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. He knows how bad it hurts. He said, "I'm allowing this that you might see my power." I don't know what this boy ever turned out to be. I have no clue. Didn't even give a name. Just says that woman's boy. But I know this. She said, when asked the question, is it well? She said, well, it's well with me. And it's well with my husband. We know shape he's in. It's well with the child. Now, listen to me now. It's well with her and she was broken. It was well with him and I would count him backslid. And it's well with the child and he was dead. And she said, yeah, it's all right. It's all right, because ain't nothing wrong with him.
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with him. Do you trust him this morning? Charlene, go to piano. I'm asking, do you trust him this morning? Is it well down at your house? Is it well? Are you saved? Let's start right there. Are you saved? Are you saved? I don't know your heart. Are you saved this morning? Is it well, husband? Is it well, wife? How about your children? Are your children saved this morning? Huh? Do you have a saved family? Listen, if my children were lost, I would not sit in that bench. I'd find me a place around this altar and I'd grab my spouse if they was with me and I'd lay on this altar and say, God, I need you to do something. Huh? If my spouse wasn't right, I'd be on this altar praying for my spouse. If my home wasn't right, I'd find me a place to call on God. And I'd gather somebody and say, will you pray with me? Hey, I gotta have some help. Let's talk and find the presence of God. Why not this morning? I'm asking, is it well? Is it well with you? Is it well with your spouse? Huh? Is it well with your spouse? Is it well with your children? Huh? Huh? Let's find us a place this morning. Let's find us a place. We got a personal Savior this morning. We got a personal Savior. There's too much at stake to be foolish. There's too much at stake to play or be religious. Oh, let's call on God and make Him a priority. Be persistent. Maybe you just need Jesus. Maybe you just need saved this morning. I don't know. Won't you come? Won't you come, man? You're among friends this morning. You're not among enemies. We're on your side this morning. You understand? We're on your side. May not ever get the same opportunity that you've got today. We started out with the verse, is it well? Is it well? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy wife? Is it well with... Yeah, it's well. You tell me. Father, speaking to our hearts, God, we need help. Our home needs help. These homes in the balance. It covers every anything. It's going to be done. It's going to be what you do because we're done helpless. God, I pray you'd help our people this morning. Well, there ain't no doubt. There's some here this morning. They're not saved. They don't know you. They're missing what I'm saying. Lord, I'm asking thy sweet Holy Spirit to draw them to a place of repentance this morning. Husbands and wives and boyfriends, girlfriends, young people, Lord, whatever the need is, old heads, it don't matter. God, I pray that we'll come to you in faith believing. In Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand right now. Will you stand? Let's sing.
293.
Let's sing this morning. You come. Will you come?
Ask me not, O Lord.
Would you come?